New York City, border to border, and coast to coast, you're connected with Tom Sullivan.
Well, here we are. Hi, how are you? Welcome to the Big Radio Show. Happy Tuesday to you on the 16th day of October, year of our Lord, 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan. We have, it seems like we're stuck in the topic file marked K. We had Kavanaugh for weeks, and now we are stuck on Khashoggi, it looks like. So I'm just getting my act together here on all of this stuff. So this business about Khashoggi and who he is and what was the deal, and everybody's still trying to figure out the fact that the Prince MBS, which it sounds like a Mercedes model to me, but anyway. The Prince is, again, absolutely denying all of this to our president. Nope, nope, nope. I did not have anything to do with this thing. Nope, I don't know anything about it. It looks very suspicious, but as we left off yesterday in our program about this topic was the fact that I got a call from Scott yesterday who said who benefits from this story? Who benefits from all this? And so you start going down that road, and it doesn't make a lot of sense. Everybody has assumed that the Saudis killed this guy, and okay, I'll go along with that. But the problem is that we've got the only information that we're getting about. The fact that he went in the embassy and never came out came from the Turks. And the fact that he was chopped up into 15 parts came from the Turks. And the story about the guys getting off the planes from Saudi Arabia and going to the Saudi embassy and they had all these suitcases, that story comes from the Turks. So the Turks are the ones who are feeding all of this. And it seems like our... I guess we're not asking a lot of really tough questions because that's the only source anybody has. And it's not the kind of source. I mean, it's like asking the fox, who ate the chickens? Well, I was here and I saw the horse walking by the chickens. And so I got a tweet from Hi, who says, body of missing Saudi journalist was cut into pieces. Well, we only have one source on that. Turkey's officials say, yes, that is blank way to die just for being a reporter. The prince might as well have been Saddam Hussein. Well, let me go back to that middle line. That's a blanked up way to die just for being a reporter. And that is where I am today. I don't know where you are on this mystery. It's a mystery novel. He has to be more than a reporter. I don't even care if he said bad things about the prince. There's something more to this story that still has not come out. I understand that people, leaders around the world of these nations, they kill people. They kill journalists. We talked about it yesterday, all the number of journalists who have been killed in all these various countries that we do business with all the time. As close as Mexico, the number of journalists killed in Mexico last year was something like 42, or it's some huge number. But we don't have any problem in doing business with Mexico. And we just signed a big new agreement, the USMCA. Nobody said boo about the fact that a bunch of journalists were killed in Mexico last year. But it happens around the world. I'm not trying to defend it. It goes against all of our values. The thing that always strikes me about when we talk about our values is that not only are we fussing in this country about capital punishment, we do it so rarely. Where other parts of the world have banned it completely, and yet other parts of the world, and I'm talking about the civilized world, still chop people's heads off, still hang them in the town square. So the way that other human beings, other people just like you and me, physically, are the same as we are, and yet they have a different culture when it comes to crime and punishment. And they have a different culture when it comes to the way that they deal with citizens who there is no freedom of the press in most nations. I think we're the exception. We may be the only exception. But beyond that, I still am going, I don't think he got killed. It's exactly what Haya is sending me the tweet about. This is a blanked up way to die just for being a reporter. Well, we know that he was more than a reporter. He was part of the kingdom. He was part and parcel of the Saudi family's kingdom. He wasn't family, but he was part of their apparatus. And the more you read, the more you find out that that is the in Saudi Arabia. Once you're on the inside, you're part of the kingdom. You're part of dealing on the inside with the royal family. You have to have complete loyalty to them. But even so, what if you said something bad about the prince? Would that get you killed? He has a long history. Jamal Khashoggi has a long history with the Muslim Brotherhood. And the Muslim Brotherhood is at absolute odds with the royal family in Saudi Arabia. So how he became tied in with the Muslim Brotherhood and how he became tied in with the royal family, those are the parts of the story that had not been told. And there's a lot of speculation about this and that and everything else, but there's something else going on why, if you believe that the Saudis killed him, they did not kill him because of the fact that he wrote an article that wasn't favorable to the prince. So I don't know who this Khashoggi guy is, but he was an insider who was dealing with basically the ultimate enemy, the Muslim Brotherhood. And somewhere in that story is how he got killed. I don't know what it is. So I come to you today without a lot of answers. But it's, you've got to step back a little bit on this and go, something else is up. Even a crazy leader of a nation doesn't go around killing people because they said something bad. Even speak of Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein used to take people and throw them in prison. Oh, he killed people too, but not for, I mean, you had to have a better reason than just the fact that somebody said something bad about you. Somehow, Khashoggi was up to doing something with Muslim Brotherhood? Somehow? I mean, the prince also went through and said he was trying to root out corruption by arresting all of these Saudi family members and throwing them in custody and not letting them go anyplace until they turned over billions of dollars of their money. So he's trying to root out corruption, but the country is not going to change that dramatically overnight. Some of the things that he's done, giving women the ability to drive cars and go to sports events, makes it look nice, but you just do not. I mean, when they passed the Civil Rights Act in 1964 in this country, white America did not wake up the next morning and say, I love black people. It's a generational transition process when you have somebody that, just because women can drive doesn't mean that men don't look at women as if they're some sort of furniture. So I don't know what's going on over there. But the more you look at Khashoggi, and I think the prince is lying through his teeth, but that has to be proved. And the source has to be somebody other than Turkey. Turkey has a very big interest in making our relationship with Saudi Arabia go bad. Where's Iran in all of this? Iran is also at loggerheads with the Saudi government. And they're at loggerheads with us. So they would love to build a wedge between us and the Saudis. So I don't know what's going to happen. I don't think we were involved in any way, shape, or form. This looks like some sort of internal problem, but Khashoggi was more than just this guy who wrote a few op-eds for the Washington Post, but was for many years an insider in the Saudi government and also an insider in the Muslim Brotherhood. He was very pro Islamic, I don't want to say jihadist, but the Islamic activist out there was very much on his plate. So you got religion playing in here. You got the Sunnis. Everybody thinks they've got this thing figured out, and I don't think we've scratched the surface of it, but I don't know if we'll ever find out. What do you make? I mean, why is everybody jumping on assuming that they know all the facts when there is so much here that is high level intrigue? Phone number here is 855-295-6600. We'll get into whether or not this is going to have any impact on us, on President Trump, on the elections. I mean, is this somehow, how are we being tied to this murder? Do you think we're involved? Phone number here is 855-295-6600. 855-295-6600. You can find that number on my website, which is TomSullivan.com.
The real world and you meet here. You're listening to Tom Sullivan.
So the man himself, Khashoggi, was not just a normal reporter, not even close. There was much more to the man. Like I said, he worked hand in hand inside the royal family. He was the editor of the main newspaper there, which their main goal was to make sure that nothing ever was said bad about the Saudi royal family, ever, ever, ever. And he was in charge of that. For years, for decades. So he made a lot of money. The Saudi government, the royals paid him a lot to be in charge of making sure nothing bad about them was ever resulted in the newspaper. He was also tied in with Osama bin Laden. He had befriended Osama bin Laden in the 80s and 90s in Afghanistan and Sudan. He was employed by the Saudi intelligence services to try to persuade bin Laden to make peace with the Saudi royal family. And he apparently was championing Osama bin Laden's jihad against the Soviets. He would write about it in the newspapers there, and that was part of his role. So he knows exactly the background and the intimate dealings between Al-Qaeda and the Saudi family leading up to the 9/11 attacks. So he had inside dirt on everybody in the Saudi family. But again, it wasn't, if he got killed because of all of these connections, it had to be more than just he was a reporter. It had to be more than that. He was an official on the inside and had dirt knew things about the royal family that people on the outside did not. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Craig in Yuba City, California. Hello, Craig.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for having me on.
You bet.
As far as this guy goes, I honestly, I could care less. And mainly because, just because they say he was a journalist, that really doesn't mean anything. What if he was a spy, Tom? He could be a spy for numerous organizations. And if he was a spy and he was caught, most countries, they execute their spies. And we used to do that, but now we just put them in prison for the rest of their life.
Right.
So before he went into that meeting, he tells his fiance, hey, if I don't come out, you need to call this number. So he knew something was up. I mean, he knew there was some reason he may not come out of that meeting, so why did he go into it? I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. I just
he had the story is he was getting papers to prove he had to get some documents to prove that he had divorced his previous wife so he could marry the woman that was sitting in the car waiting for him outside. But I don't know. Have you ever gone into a building and told your spouse, if I don't come back? Yes, no. He knew there was a huge risk. He was not your average, ordinary reporter. There was something much bigger about this guy that was of a worry to the Saudi royal family.
Yeah, no, I've went into some ex-spouse's places and said, if I don't come out, somebody better call. But I've never, not like this guy. But what if he was a spy, Tom? Seriously, if he was a spy, then all bets are off in most of those other countries. So I'm just not that all bent out of shape over this thing. I just
The Saudis may have been worried about the fact that he had become a spy for the U.S. because he did come to Washington, and a Pentagon official said they had a plan to take the Saudi out of Arabia, and it involved establishing a council of select Saudi people in Mecca to govern the country, with us being basically the puppet master. So of that Saudi team the Pentagon was in regular contact with, one of them was Khashoggi. So I don't think you're far from the truth there, Craig. We can't prove it. But
I don't like you, Tom, I don't know that we're ever really going to know, and I don't think Turkey is going to be a reliable source to find out either, for that matter. So I don't know, and I'm not all that concerned about it myself.
Well, a lot of people seem to be, because this story's not, it's the lead story again today. And I thought, really? We are truly stuck on the K's for some reason. But Craig, always good to talk to you. I appreciate your call very much. Phone number is 855-295-6600. You can find the phone number and the links to my Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and podcast. It's all on my website, TomSullivan.com.
Primetime, all the time, with Tom Sullivan.
So all I want to put on the table today in this mystery novel is this Khashoggi guy was not just a reporter. He came from one of the most influential families in Saudi Arabia. And his grandfather was of Turkish origin but married a Saudi woman. And that's why they changed their name from Kasikli to Khashoggi. It goes way back. Khashoggi's uncle was Adnan Khashoggi, who was a multi-billionaire. And the way that Adnan Khashoggi made his billions was he was a high-profile Saudi arms dealer. Yeah, he bought and sold military gear around the world and became one of the richest men in the world. Adnan Khashoggi was his uncle. And you don't get to be a multi-billionaire in the Saudi royal family's kingdom without the Saudi royals getting involved in it as well. So he's got powerful uncle. His grandfather was the royal physician to King Abdulaziz of Saudi Arabia. So he's got that connection. His cousin, Khashoggi's cousin, was Dodi Fayed. Remember who Dodi Fayed was? He was the guy who was killed in the car accident with Princess Di. They were dating. Dodi Fayed was the son of Mohammed El Fayed, the owner of Harrods department store in London. And Dodi and Princess Di were killed in that tunnel in Paris. So that's why I say this guy, and he was working for the royal family for decades, edited the newspaper to make sure that everything about the royal family was good, good, good. All of his family were influential. This was not just a reporter who wrote something that the prince did not like. So Peter King, the Republican from Long Island, said, even if Saudi Arabia is an ally, that they cannot be allowed to get away with things like this.
The best you could have said about the Saudis is they're amoral. Back on 9/11, they were immoral. In recent years, they've come more to our side. They've been very helpful as far as Iran is concerned, as far as combating Iran, as far as assisting Israel. Those type issues, they've come over to our side only because they realized it was in their best interest to do it. But on a moment's notice, they could turn away from us. Right now, Saudi is an important ally, but we cannot allow this to happen. You cannot allow, in today's day and age, to have a journalist, a resident of the U.S., a citizen of the Saudis, killed and murdered, apparently decomposed, torn apart in the Saudi consulate. This violates all standards of human behavior.
No, it does. You can't argue that. You can't. It doesn't matter whether this guy was a big deal or whether he was a reporter or whatever he was, but they do that in other countries. I'm not giving it a blessing. I'm just saying, you know, grow up, look around the world. That's what they do. So you got all kinds of people that are pulling out of this future investment initiative, the Davos in the Desert, coming up on October 23rd. So that'd be next Tuesday. Long list of people that have said, we were going, but we're not going to go anymore. Peter King says the Saudis. Well, this is interesting. This is a debatable point. The Saudis need us, he says, more than we need them.
I have great faith in Mike Pompeo. Secretary Pompeo is outstanding. He's first rate. He's going to get right to it. And what we have to do is convince the Saudis they need us more than we need them. Because of our oil supplies, we are no longer dependent on the Saudis. As far as the weaponry, the fact is, yes, they could turn toward Russia, but in that case, they have so much other weaponry that depends on the U.S. to function. So they need us more than we need them. Yes, it's important that they be an ally, but again, it's more important to them that the U.S. is on their side. I think we have to take some sort of economic sanctions. We have to put a clear statement out demonizing them, saying how evil this was. And also, I know Senator Lindsey Graham has said that one requirement should be that the Crown Prince, who was supposedly the heir apparent, you know, that he be pushed aside. You can't have this type of behavior in the civilized world.
Yeah. Marco Rubio is talking about Congress is going to take some action. Lindsey Graham saying the prince has to be moved out. David Sanger from the New York Times says he can't see the U.S. putting any sanctions on the Saudis.
Well, they may try, and I'm certain that they will get some through. But the fact of the matter is, the president's got enormous latitude here and usually can suspend all kinds of sanctions for national security reasons. And the president, as you've seen, has been willing to define national security in the broadest of possible ways. What's the president already said? He's already said that he wanted to protect the arms deal because of jobs in the United States. He's certainly going to want to protect oil flows, particularly at a time that we're in conflict or growing conflict with Iran. So it's hard for me right now to understand what other than symbolic actions they may take against the Saudis. In fact, at this point, the Treasury Secretary is still going to the conference in a week.
Yeah. So David Sanger says he sees all kinds of different things we can do, but it will probably just be symbolic. Errol Lewis, who is New York One political guy, says he sees it would be hard for the U.S. to put pressure on the Saudis overnight.
Yes and no. Let's keep in mind that $110 billion arms deal that the president talked about, turns out that something like less than 15% of that has actually been transacted so far. So we don't know what was really going to happen, and I suppose Congress could sort of throw some stones in the path if they really wanted to, but it's unclear how big of a deal that was in the first place. And then I guess secondly, when it comes to the Magnitsky Act, what they really have the power to do on the congressional side is to order a report from the executive. But David is exactly right. The president has all kinds of discretion to implement it, suspend it, delay it, and so targeted sanctions at individuals, which we know is effective, actually, at putting pressure on a regime, is not something we can expect to happen overnight.
Yeah. Well, I'll go back to Peter King, because Peter King's talking about the fact that the Saudis need us more than we need them, because, I mean, we've become so much stronger with our oil. Yes, we have. But we are still getting about 8 million barrels of crude oil each and every day from different places. Okay? Saudi Arabia's shipments to the U.S. have gone down and down and down. We brought in 943,000 barrels per day from the Saudis last year. Yep, 2017. So almost a million barrels a day come in. Sounds like a lot. It is a lot. But we are still dropping down to the point where now the Energy Information Administration says that we're down to 690,000 barrels of crude. That is the lowest that we have seen since Ronald Reagan was in office. So do we need them? Kind of. I mean, we still get out of our, we import almost 8 million barrels a day in this country, and a million of that 8 million comes from, well, now it's not that, it's less. It's 750,000 at best of oil a day from Saudi Arabia. That would be hard to replace. We're getting there. But if, and they're not going to chop us off overnight, but the Saudis know, and that's why the Crown Prince is trying to diversify their economy, that they can't rely upon oil sales from here on out.
Opinions that matter. Radio that makes you think. Tom Sullivan.
So this business about the Saudis need us more than we need them. Saudi Arabia, like I said, we were importing somewhere around 7, almost 8 million barrels a day of oil last year. Of that 8 million, almost a million came from Saudi Arabia. But that has dropped down to 600,000 barrels a day. So there are not as much of our oil imports that they used to be. And it's not because we're doing so great. We're doing terrific. We are, in 2018, the United States, for the first time, exceeded the oil production of Saudi Arabia and exceeded the oil production of Russia. Both of them are south of 11 million barrels a day, and our production in the U.S. is north of 11 million. So we have surpassed them, not by much, but the largest source of imported oil that we get comes from Canada, 40%. The next largest group comes from Saudi Arabia, 11%. Can we replace that 11%? Well, the next one on the list is Venezuela. 9%. what? We're doing business with a person that is a terrible leader, people are dying in Venezuela because of this guy? Yes. And the fourth on the list is Mexico. 8% of our oil comes from there. So can we help Venezuela produce more oil for us? Can we do a better deal with Mexico to get more oil from them? Maybe, but I don't think you're going to replace 11% of our imports, which is coming from Saudi Arabia. So if the Saudis wanted to kill themselves, they would cut off the business to the United States. But if they did that, I mean, we are their biggest customer. We have other options, but it would be, you would notice the price, no question about it. The price of gas at the pump would go up. So the question is, how far does President Trump want to take this? Again, knowing that this Khashoggi guy is not who you think he is. He's not just Joe Reporter out, you know, hitting the beat every day trying to find stories. This guy's an insider, has been for a long time, very powerful family, tied in with the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood and the Saudi royal family hate each other. So this guy was kind of in the middle of both of those factions. He was trying to be inside the Saudi family and trying to be an insider and promoter of the Muslim Brotherhood. And that may exactly be what got him killed. I don't think it has anything to do with the fact that he wrote some column about somebody that the prince didn't like. So Peter King says that he's glad, and so am I. I think Mike Pompeo is a really smart man. And it's a good thing that Pompeo is kind of our lead negotiator on what's going to happen.
I would say it's fact-finding, but also I would believe that Mike Pompeo is taking a message to the Saudi king, telling him certain things that we are going to demand. What they are, I can't say. I don't know. But the president does have a lot of weapons at his disposal, diplomatic, economic, and others. So I think that is what, it's probably two-pronged. One, to get the official position of the Saudi government from the king behind closed doors, but also to let him know the United States is not going to tolerate this. And listen, they've had no better friend than President Trump, and I agreed with that because you want them on our side, but not at the cost of sacrificing our respect for human rights. And I think Mike Pompeo is going to make that clear to the king, that going forward, if they want to maintain any kind of good relationship with the U.S., they have to take action to punish those who are involved in this, and there has to be some punitive action by the U.S. against the Saudis.
So, you want to blow up the whole relationship with Saudi Arabia? Okay. There would be consequences, but it would be how far do you want to take this? How far do you want to go? A lot of business people are backing out of this conference. The World Bank president said he's not going. Uber CEO says no. Steve Case, the co-founder of AOL, said no. Viacom said they're not going. JP Morgan Chase, BlackRock, Ford Motor Company, MasterCard all said they're not going. David Petraeus, Sotheby's CEO, Google CEO, HSBC CEO, all of these people are not going. So we'll see whether or not our Treasury Secretary goes. He's still on the yes list, but there's others that are going as well. But there's a lot of big names that are not. And that may be more punishment to the Saudis in their world because of the fact that they were looking forward to being kind of the lead financial capital of that part of the world. Guy Benson from townhall.com said the Saudi government will definitely see the consequences if they lie about this.
The Saudi government lied about this brazenly, and the old adage in politics is the cover-up is always worse than the crime. I would say the crime here morally looks quite terrible. But the cover-up geopolitically is worse, because the Saudi government spent a lot of time telling a lot of people all over the international community, no, no, you have it all wrong. And now to so dramatically change the story and try to make it seem like it was an accident, there will be a lot of dubious, skeptical people again. And you're seeing already the repercussions globally for the Saudi regime because of this series of events.
Why don't they come out and just say, hey, the guy was a spy, or he was working against us, or whatever. He's got, I mean, Khashoggi has a very, very shadowy background. Back to Peter King, he says, well, he was asked, what we're all asking is, why would the Saudis kill this guy?
Again, this just shows almost a barbaric tone. This is like the dark underside of Saudi Arabia. And, you know, we had thought the crown prince was bringing the Saudis into the 21st century. There were not a lot, but some rights being given toward women. They were going toward a more modern culture. And yet to have this is something that's out of, you know, the Middle Ages. And actually have somebody in your own consulate. You know, it's bad enough what the Russians do, and they are horrible at this. But actually in your own consulate, if the reports are accurate, to murder someone or kill them in there. And they say it was interrogation that went bad. Well, this is an interrogation of your own citizen on government property. Again, not something that's going on the battlefield or back alley where people are fighting for survival. This was obviously a pre-planned event. Whether or not they intended to kill him, they certainly intended to cause, you would think, if everything we hear is true, severe bodily harm. And that had to be sanctioned at a high level of the government.
Well, so I don't know how this is all going to turn out, but if this was somebody that they had, that was playing footsie with the Saudi government and the Muslim Brotherhood, they're going to have to come out and say it. I don't know if you want to blow up the entire relationship with the Saudis.